Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This episode of the Mosaic Life podcast is brought to you by 2237 Designs. You've heard me talk about it before. Are you a small business owner, an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, or are you one of those people, and my hat is off to you, working on your side hustle every waking moment that you have? Whatever it is, you probably have a website, and you've probably dealt with either trying to learn how to code yourself or dealing with an agency or, and I shudder at the word, a freelancer. You've probably dealt with the trouble of poor communication or what should seemingly be the simple task of updating a piece of copy or even an image. That should not be a struggle. It should not be a fight. 2237 Designs is the anti-agency. You can simplify your online world with your own personal concierge web guy. And as a reminder, that web guy is me. 2237 Designs offers custom web design, maintenance, and hosting packages, all at small business prices. You can text me, you can call me, you can email me anytime you want, and your website is going to get updated when you need it, and more importantly, how you need it. New 2237 Design customers get a free year of hosting if, this is a big secret, if you're a listener of this podcast, email me, Trey, T-R-E-Y, at 2237designs, that's designs, plural, .com, and mention you heard me talking about this little company here on the podcast, and you'll get a free year of hosting. Visit 2237designs.com to learn more. Again, if you'd like to take advantage of that free year of hosting, email Trey, T-R-E-Y, at 2237designs.com, and mention you heard us on the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another conversation on the Mosaic Life podcast. I really don't have a whole lot to say in this introduction. The title explains itself. This is a conversation Uri and I had out of, I think, necessity. We had scheduled a conversation. It just so happened that my mood was in a downswing the prior 2 days. And I mentioned to Ernie, hey man, you know what? Let's just talk about being in a bad mood, having bad days. This is something that everybody has. And there are ways that we can cope with that and how we can move past it. And the resulting hour and 7 minutes was wonderful. Not only was it lethargic, that's the wrong word, therapeutic for me to talk about, you know, the seemingly immense problems in my life, and after doing so, realizing that that perspective was not at all reality. But we ended up coming together and putting out some really great takeaways for how to cope with, you know, the feeling that all in the world is wrong, and you know, what we can do to dig ourselves out of that pit of despair. And so, really, I mean, this is a great, raw, and authentic conversation that Ernie and I have, and I truly hope you enjoy it. We do make mention, you know, a lot of times we find ourselves in places that are difficult, to say the least, to escape. And we put the offer out there. If you ever feel like you need somebody to talk to, but and I know this feeling, I think of it from experience, you don't want to burden the people around you with the way you're feeling, you can reach out to us. We will do our absolute best to provide the tools and the resources that you need to get yourself out of this place of darkness. And whether or not we're the ones to help you do that, or we provide the great resources that we have at our disposal to help you get there, we will certainly do our best. We want nothing but the best for you, our listeners, and for those around you. So, that being said, actually, you know, one more note. I did want to mention, I was thinking as I was listening back to some of our episodes, this show is not at all serialized. You can listen to any episode you want that you think you'll derive value from. Some people are meditators, some are not. If you're not, feel free to skip the meditations. If you just like the interviews, just listen to the interviews, and the same goes for the conversations. You do not need to listen to the prior episode to get the context for the next one. We do our very best to make sure that all of these can be digested individually. So, with that said, take a listen. Ernie and I dig into the last couple of days that I had that brought some grief upon me. And I'm happy to say, over a week removed from recording this conversation, I am back at my best and you know, looking to move forward into the future. So I hope you get a lot of value from this. And again, if there's anything that we can do to help, you can email us at onemosaiclife@gmail.com. Thank you so much and enjoy. Welcome to the Mosaic Life Podcast.
Life is an art, every moment a picture painted in time. The color, texture, lighting, all context. The Mosaic Life vision is to cast a warm glow on your masterpiece, highlighting the struggle while showcasing the culmination of years of hard work.
Join us for guided meditations, interviews with authors and leaders, and engaging conversation as we explore the depths of our consciousness. Welcome to the Mosaic Life Podcast. Ernie, thanks for coming back with
welcome,
me, man.
Welcome, welcome. Yeah, dude. Yeah. I'm excited. It's yeah. been a great journey. And yeah. We were just counting our episodes total. What this is, I think we said the 18th episode that we will release.
Yeah, I can't remember anything from 5 minutes ago. So I'm taking your word for that.
But it's cool. I mean, it's nice to see it transforming into what we envisioned it.
And I love that it's not just, you know, 18 of the same episodes. That's we've got meditations, the interviews are going very well, and these conversations I value highly. So it's you're going to get an assortment of what we offer.
Yeah. Yeah. You're such a good marketer.
I you know, you know, if I'm going to get paid for it, I should probably be good at it. So
no, right on. I mean, it is important for people to know in case this is the first thing they listen to that we yeah. offer quite a wide variety of tools.
We do. Yeah. And so Ernie and I are doing this a little bit differently today. For anybody who even cares, Ernie lives like you live like an hour away, don't you?
Yeah, it's an hour.
Yeah, so he's been making the drive up here for all of you fine people, which is, you know, I truly appreciate because it's great being in the same room with him. His energy is phenomenal. We have the technology to do remote interviews or remote episodes, and so we're giving that a try. You know, I personally hold the audio that we put out to a very high standard. So I want to make sure that you as the listeners appreciate that and, you know, appreciate the quality of these interviews. So if you ever have, you know, if somebody ever, you can't hear somebody, just let us know. You can email us at onemosaiclife@gmail.com. We just want to make sure that, you know, this is working for us and it's working for you. So giving this a shot, Ernie, thanks for doing this.
Yeah. You know, something, yeah, definitely. You're welcome for doing this and for driving, dude. I wouldn't use an hour drive as an excuse to not have created this. It was just, it suddenly dawned on me like, hey, I could save 2 hours every week or 2 weeks by sure. not driving. And now we have the capability to do that after we've done a couple interviews. And Jason Lang's interview turned out so beautifully because he had a microphone on the other end. And so I was like, let's just do it that way.
Yeah. Speaking of I was thrilled about that. You know, first of all, I was super excited that you brought somebody so phenomenal into my life. It was great sitting down with him and actually going through editing it and listening to every detail in depth. It was a whole new experience for me. So thank you for that introduction.
Dude, he's off the hook. It was so nice to be with him and I've probably said it multiple times at this point, but just being in the presence of somebody who's so grounded has an immediate grounding effect to you. And if you're not aware of it, you're just like, oh, this person, something. Well, I guess that's what it is. It's just this magnetic quality, this grounding quality, and it takes cultivation. Like, so you know the dude's putting in work. One, because the way he speaks about it, you know, it's clear that he understands what he's talking about. But just being in his presence, he doesn't have to say a word, and you're just a bit calmer. So, and that, welcome, and
that I'm glad definitely. That definitely translated into the conversation and hopefully it translated out to the listeners too. So again, you can check Jason out at evolutionary.men. You know, Ernie, you know him so much better than I do. I mean, are there a few more words that we didn't get to touch on, you know, in Jason's interview that you would just like to, you know, endorse Jason on?
honestly, I don't feel like I have anything that I could say that would say it better than the interview. So
okay,
if anyone is even interested in the least bit, just check it out. It will bring several insights into your world. I almost guarantee it. And if you, it's a challenge, actually, if you're hearing me right now, go listen to that. And if you don't get a single thing from it, email me and then I will find something free to give you. Like, I will give you a free prize.
I thought you were going to say you'd like pay them $100 or something. Like, yeah,
Well, I don't want to say anything yet.
Right.
But I didn't have anything in mind.
Yeah.
But I'll get you a coffee mug or something.
A Mosaic really cool Life track. Coffee mug. That'd be pretty
there
cool.
There we go.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what we'll do.
Cool.
Yeah, just check out that episode. Check out the meditations. You know, we're doing a series on the go meditations. What we realize is that not everybody has 20 minutes to engage in meditation, nor do people have the experience to want to do that a lot of the times. And so if you're looking to dip your toe in the waters of relaxation, then check out the on the go meditations. They're quick breath practices to get you grounded, to get you out of overthinking, out of your head and into your body, and then to in real time understand the effects of that and how it can affect your life. They're under 5 minutes. We have 1-2 released at this point, and we'll have a couple more coming.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, as I continue moving into 2020 with my 10 big audacious goals, and as I build the confidence to talk about them with other people, somebody that I network with each week, she took inspiration from that, and she has started, you know, her own goals, and she has made meditation one of those goals. And I recommended that she listen to the meditations you put out there, and you know, those shorter meditations, they really help you get your feet wet into that world. And she appreciated those. So,
oh, nice. So yeah. She did listen.
She did. Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So I guess speaking of meditation, you know, one issue that I personally face is a lot of times will get into a very strong meditation groove where my, you know, 5, 10, 20 days in a row where I'll meditate and then I'll feel grounded. I'll feel fantastic. But then, you know, I will not do it. I'll come up on a day where I won't do it in the morning. And then I'll do it in the afternoon, and that flies by, and then the evening, and I don't get around to it. And I end up skipping it, which sucks because I feel like I've lost something within myself. And that oddly transitions into, you know, the topic of conversation today is the last couple of days I've just found myself off, not in the place that I want to be, not the highly productive person that I am, and just not in a good mood. And, you know, I briefly pitched this to her, and he's like, just stop talking. We're going to talk about this. Let's do this, because everybody has bad days, and it's how we cope and deal with them that, you know, allows us to get back into that groove. And so, Ernie, with your blessing, do you want to talk about having bad days?
Yeah. I will say just to add in there, to be clear, when you brought it up to me, and I said, stop, we'll talk about it. We'll
yes.
do this. It wasn't like for the listeners, it wasn't like a hoorah. Like, that's not the way that I support somebody who's bringing up a conversation about having bad
right.
days, but it was like, no, shut up now. We're going to record this
exactly.
because this is what everyone deals with. I think this is, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but for me, having a bad day can so easily turn into a conversation about how terrible life is
yeah.
in its entirety, which is usually in every case I could imagine not entirely true, but our mind just starts to have its way, you know, with us, and it's very easy to get consumed in that. Dude, I mean, like, it's if you are simply going to work and coming home, like, you don't have to have a complex life for things to get out of hand or to feel out of hand.
Not at all.
But the experience is very similar for everyone. And I think one of the things we miss out on when we're in the world of personal development is the is the reality of it is that it is happening, and it does feel terrible at times, and it is like an arduous, it feels like an arduous process, this like moving a mountain, to go from having a bad day to being just okay to doing the things that you committed to in the first place and moving forward in them. It can feel like the weight of the world at times.
It can. And I think you said the word, if not, I apologize, but things compound. I mean, there are little things that can gnaw at you, but as one piles on top of the other, it's bigger and bigger bites, which just wears down on your psyche. And I generally, and I've said this before, pride myself in being able to handle immense emotion, both positive and negative, but I find myself berating myself mentally when I'm driving down the road, getting pissed off at somebody because they're not driving the way that I would have them drive. When on any other given day, I can cope perfectly well with that and understand that they have a different circumstance or a different situation than I do, thus the way they're driving. And so I'm just trying to, you know, as you know, we talk about this, I'm trying to recollect, you know, where things started for me yesterday. Or, you know, I guess yesterday's relative, but for me right now, it was yesterday. You know, I had a meeting in the morning that I got there expecting to, you know, give my report, you know, talk a little bit. I got thrown into the situation because the schedule got a little bit shuffled around, and I ended up meeting somebody who was high up in a company. I did not feel prepared. So that kind of put me in a place of vulnerability. And then, you know, later in the day, you know, along those same projects, I sent an email out to somebody and I never got a response about that particular email, but I got response on other emails. And that just kind of made me self-conscious, you know, did my contribution to this project, was that not, you know, was it poor? Was it, you know, not warranted? And so that just got me into a place of, you know, critical self berating. You know, so the rest of the day I didn't want to do any work. I just felt like sitting on the couch and I didn't do anything. I didn't do shit. You know, I was going to work out. I was going to run. I didn't do any of this. I just watched Netflix and I sat in my own self-pity. But, you know, at the time it felt, you know, very real. It was this guttural feeling that I don't feel good about myself. And, you know, just the little things kept piling on. And, you know, here I feel myself a day later, you know, still dealing with the weight in the wake of it. And, you know, it's having that 20,000 foot view and saying, okay, you know, these problems, they feel real, but, you know, at this level, you can get through it. You know, you can get through it.
Yeah, man. First of all, I feel you. I just pull, like, as you talk about sitting on the couch and watching Netflix, I just pull forward so many different memories of myself in a similar scenario where it's like I have a TV on, or maybe not even a TV on, and I'm just sitting in this like neck deep mud and not even like paying attention to the TV because I'm so stuck in this vibration of self-loathing. And it can be terrible sometimes. There's so many things to unpack from what you shared, you know, different theories about when it came about, vulnerability and considering yourself not having measured up in a particular meeting, expectations of, you know, in the response, that may not have been there if the vulnerability didn't come from the meeting.
Right.
And then the level of time we allow ourselves to sit in it for whatever reason and why we do that, to the point of coming back and actually feeling energized about life again. And it sounds like you're still on that upward trajectory now. You say, I don't think you used the word hangover, but the interpretation was that you still have a hangover from yesterday today.
Yes, that is a great way of putting that. But I want to really hit on being on the upward. And I will say right now in this very moment, I am, and this is a revelation for me, just talking with you and putting it out into the world this is helping. You know, I know we're doing this as content and as a podcast, but talking with you is, I don't want to say it's making my feelings feel silly or invalidated, because everybody's feelings they're validated within, but it's making you realize that, you know, things are obviously going to get better. Nobody, you know, thankfully died, and, you know, nothing is dire in my life right now, but it's just making me feel better. And, you know, it's that feeling is that feeling that's deep inside of you that you can't change with a different thought, that is being adjusted at this very point in time, just having this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to celebrate that, because that's great to hear. You know, we're actively doing that as you talk through it, and simply talking through it can do that, or can take a lot of the weight off, you know, being heard and felt and seen by another person. And then I also want to just track through what I had to develop to be there for you in this moment, like I just did, because I think a lot of times when somebody's going through something, so I'm taking the conversation away from the idea of we're going through something and this is how we work out of it, but also now I'm going into the idea of supporting somebody going through something. And of course, we feel for people when they're struggling. A lot of times, though, if we're not fully engaged with them when they're sharing, they get to the end of what they're saying, and then we're just like, "Oh shit, their life really sucks right now. Like they really fucked up this week." And then the thing that comes up is like, "Oh man, I'm so sorry. Like it'll get better," or that makes, like, it's all good. Like people struggle all the time, like. That would, I imagine, from experience, would not bring the same relief for a person as somebody who listens and empathizes. So, you know, I'm not only sitting here listening to what was happening for you and envisioning that, but I'm also feeling what it's like for me when I'm in that place. And then tracking through, you know, the experiences you had, and saying, not only did I hear you, Trey, how excruciating it must have been in that interview, or in that meeting, and it being unexpected when this, you know, executive showed up, and then feeling like you bombed it, and just how that would feel, and then how it would, you know, compound when you went to send an email and then your expectations got the best of you. Yeah. Right. So like, I not only listened, but I'm feeling it because I've been there, and I'm taking the time actively to feel it with you. And then to validate it, like you're saying, to show you, to be here with you and say that it's not, it makes sense. Like you're not crazy, you're not alone. And that's a power that we have that I fear a lot of people don't take the time to cultivate. So that's just something I wanted to add in there, because it's not a natural process for me, but it's something that I've had to work on. And I wanted to share that with you and the listeners.
Yeah. And that's not only appreciated, it's something that you're absolutely right. I want people to be able to have the tools to do exactly what you just said. And a lot of what you just said, it harkens back to some of the conversations we've had on Buddhism. And the more I learn about that, the more empathetic and open I want to be to offer that to not only yourself and others. What was I going to say?
Sorry. Well, we could get back into the conversation of, you know, what happened for you throughout the day, and then various ways throughout that experience that you could have adjusted, or we could look at ways that you could currently adjust, or we could look at the impetus of it, where it really started to begin for you.
Certainly.
And just, you know, those are some ideas that I have as we look to, one, shine light for you, and then also in that process, do that for listeners.
And I do want to, there's one thing that I do want to point out, is that, you know, our perception a lot of times is not reality. You know, there's this mysterious email that I sent that I did not get feedback on. You know, it may come back to me tomorrow or the day after, and, you know, get astounding, you know, acclaim, you know, "Hey, I love this, you know, let's move forward with this." Or, you know, it just may be, you know, something that was seen, but, you know, cannot be acted upon right now. So our perception is almost always so much worse than our reality. It's just the narrative that we build up in our minds that I think really affects us and affects, you know, our feeling and our outlook. And it's worth me saying that not only to you, but to myself, because it's a great reminder.
Mm. Yeah. You know, and right along, you know, if we had come into this podcast and specifically talked about this email alone, and how, you know, you might have had expectations or you made up stories in your head about them caring or not caring about you and this project or whatever it is, like if we just brought that in, that's one story. And then the other piece is like this idea of susceptibility, or at least this comes up for me. I imagine if, for instance, the meeting in the morning was just astounding, whether the guy showed up or not, and it just went amazing, that you probably wouldn't have had that experience with the email, right? There's this level of susceptibility. And a lot of times I believe people grab onto something and they say, this is why I feel this way, or this is what happened. And then things started to go to shit. But there's always this precursor.
You're absolutely right.
That kind of just like broke down the wall a little bit, or broke a leg off the stool, or just kind of like, you know, started the dominoes, and then you were susceptible, or then a person is susceptible to these small things like getting bent out of shape over an email, which happens, or a text, you know, like it almost happens. It probably would have happened, that story or that feeling would have happened if things would have went well in the morning, but you wouldn't have maybe attached to it, is the story that I'm making up. But you were like susceptible to fire at that point because you were already vulnerable. You were already down on yourself. And then it's like, well, now this fucker doesn't love me. You know, I'm exaggerating, but.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. It's you know, the only metaphor I can think of is, you know, I got a small cut in the morning and I couldn't stop the bleeding. You know, it just the wound just got bigger and bigger and bigger. But if I were able to somehow, I don't know, put a tourniquet around my ego, then that, you know, the further things in the afternoon, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I would not be susceptible to that negative feeling or that negative emotion associated that I personally, nobody else, I attached to a lack of response from that particular email.
Yeah, it's the fun little game of the. Of the brain.
So
fun in air quotes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I, you know, a conversation I do want to have is, you know, we have a normal person, and you know, I say that very loosely, just a normal, well-adjusted person will always have ups and downs. And, you know, you can average it out in the middle to your normal, you know, to your everyday normal. And so Ernie, you've seen my life tracker, my spreadsheet. You know what? I would do this for the first time. I will link to this spreadsheet in the show notes so you can see it. The goal that I wanted to have when developing that was so I can find, this sounds silly as I say it out loud, I want to find the secret formula to have the best day of my life every day. I know that is not sustainable in any way, shape, or form. There's way too many variables in this world, but I want to have a formula so I can have the best day as often as possible. And so, you know, as I go back and review the last couple of days, I can see, you know, what influenced, you know, my psyche, you know, my physical self leading up to those days. And so I just want to, you and I have talked a little bit about ups and downs in our everyday lives. I mean, what is your belief when it comes to, you know, the wave of emotions that we have day in and day out? I mean, do you think you can maintain a level high, or do you think that every high has to have an equal low?
Well, I don't yet have the belief that every day can be maintained at a level high. And there's a lot to unpack there. Like maybe I don't even want it to, like maybe I want to live more in an equilibrium, in the balance of that. But another thing that comes up too is, it came up when you mentioned the term like normal, well-maintained human or something like that. I can't remember the term. Do you remember what you said exactly?
Yeah. I wanted to be sensitive that I do understand that, you know, there are people that, who have major depressive issues and their every day is not, you know, at sea levels. A lot of times it's, you know, 100 feet below. So I just want to make sure everybody is different and I just wanted to be as inclusive as possible.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, man. I don't know. You know, I have this idea that I'm still working through that. There's no necessarily normality when it comes to emotional response to the world. And I feel as though that cuts people off. Not you were cutting people off. I understand the picture you were trying to paint, and it all made sense. I'm not going in at the way you said it.
Sure.
But what came up for me is this idea that so many people aren't sharing everything, and most of the time we're just seeing the shiny parts.
Right.
And so the idea of normal, it's like, man, I at this moment, you know, I am better off emotionally than I've ever been, but to this litmus test of, you know, having it all together, you know, I'm still comparing to another together of having it together.
What are you comparing yourself to? What are you comparing that standard to?
Right. I mean, it's the natural, or what I assume to be the natural response that is given from society of like a certain level of money, a certain level of happiness, a certain level of, I mean, yeah, like that kind of encompasses everything. Money and happiness is like what that internal programming, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But the challenge, I think, is not having that aversion to. It's not like getting rid of that aversion necessarily. But not allowing or sustaining our attachment to it. So something that I tend to do or have tended to do that I'm noticing now, and in noticing this, I've gotten better at taking it away, like dissolving it from my system. But, you know, and this could have been true for you yesterday, or maybe not, but, you know, sometimes things will go wrong for me or won't turn out the way that I want. And then I will go into the self-loathing, the berating part of myself because I didn't measure up to some made up standard of,
right,
of what I was supposed to be. And the result didn't show exactly what I wanted to prove that, to validate that I'm good enough. And this, I'll sit in that, you know, that neck deep mud. And what I realized a few months ago is that I was punishing myself. That's literally what I was doing. Not like, oh, you're punishing yourself if you stay in that place. But like I there was a part of me that thought I had to be in that place because I'd done something wrong and I deserved to be punished. It just kind of like clicked one day. I was walking through Pier 1. I swear, like I was walking through Pier 1. I had waited till the last minute. Actually, it was almost a year ago because I was buying presents for Mother's Day on the day before Mother's Day. And I always, or I tended to always wait until the last minute to get gifts. And I'm getting better at that because of this awareness. But what I realize is I'm shopping through Pier 1 in this like sheer terror that I'm going to not be able to get a good gift and that it's all going to be hokey bullshit stuff that I put off of the Pier 1 shelf like I was doing because I waited till the last minute. And sure, I did wait till the last minute. And sure, I could have started earlier in my shopping and gotten a lot more thoughtful gifts. I could have done all of those things. But the only reason that I was shopping and feeling this sense of self-loathing was because I felt like I needed to feel that way. Like, I'm not good enough and I'm supposed to feel bad right now because I didn't do the right thing. But it's like, wait a second, there's another choice. There's, oh, I didn't do these things. Okay, I want to, in the future, start searching a month or two ahead of time. And I can enjoy shopping right now, the day before Mother's Day.
Right.
I can enjoy it. Like, I can be excited about being in here. There are two workers over here that I could actually enjoy my conversation with rather than checking out with my head down and making, you know, dumb little jokes to divert the conversation. I could actually enjoy it, but I was literally punishing myself.
So I want to ask a question.
Sure.
You said, you talked about doing the right thing. And I'm going to ask this question. I want you to think about it. I don't want an immediate answer. What, in that situation, what was the right thing? Was it buying a gift for your mother, period, stop? Or was it buying a gift for your mother 2 months ago? What was the right thing?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. I was buying a gift for my wife for Mother's Day.
For your wife, I'm sorry.
It's all good. The right thing is the thing that I know that I want to do. If I wanted to wait till the last minute, then me attaching to the idea of buying something 2 months earlier would be me attaching to somebody else's idea of the right thing. But I know within me that I would have liked to have presented a much more thoughtful gift.
That makes sense. I get you.
And I didn't present myself with the right amount of time. So whatever a person wants to do, whatever I want to do, the right thing is doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
In my opinion, in this case, I guess.
Okay, that is a very good clarification, and that helps.
Yeah.
Now, one last point. I said something to you at a concert we went to last fall. Alan Raymond, phenomenal artist. Check him out on Spotify. 2 L's. He unfortunately, he had a throat sickness, so his set was cut short. But I guess I had said to you, Ernie, that you know if the artist does not acknowledge something is wrong, the audience very likely will not see that something is wrong. And so is that what I said? First of all, I don't remember exactly what I said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It was pretty much along those lines.
Okay. So to translate that point, you know, you may have wanted to put more thought into the gift that you got for your wife for Mother's Day. However, I don't know this, but hopefully, regardless of what she received, she still enjoyed and still thought that it was a thought out, meaningful, and loving gift. Now, when you gave her that gift, did you attach the value to it that you felt bad about purchasing that gift just yesterday, or did she receive that without any of that negative perception?
Yeah, that's a great point. So I realized halfway through shopping what was happening, and I immediately shifted my perspective and started to enjoy the fact that I was doing it.
Good.
Now, I could have not noticed it and then, you know, taken the gifts the next day and said, I'm sorry. Like you were saying, just like telling the audience that the set was cut short because I was sick, you know, and then they're like, oh, man, he had a short set. Or not just say like, thank you all for coming out and I'm out. And they're like, oh, that was awesome. I want more.
Right.
And so if I would have sat in it, I could have said something. I probably would have said like, I'm sorry, I didn't, you know, shop early enough. So I got you this stuff. And then I would have textured the gift with that own self-loathing that I, you know, had. But But I changed myself from that in the moment when I noticed that, became aware of it, and I made a decision that it wasn't who I was and I wanted something different. And so I enjoyed the shopping. And then everything after that became art. So the way that I presented them to her the next day, everything from that point forward became a well thought out, thoughtful gift presentation. You know, like when she walks out of her room, out of our room in the morning, it'll probably be this light out, and there, before she turns the light on, maybe the light will be shining right here, and maybe she'll look right over here because XYZ, and then boom, that's where the gift's going to be sitting, right? So then everything became what I wanted it to be in the first place, a well thought out gift.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Not to get too far out of the bad day conversation into like gift giving.
No, but, not at all.
Definitely has relevance here, like this whole idea of getting sunken into the.
And there's one more point that I want to make along the gift giving premise is that I have found it seems like it has become a tradition for people, you know, especially during Christmas, you know, when a gift is given, you know, prior to it even being opened, you know, the people that I'm around will say, oh, this is just something stupid that I found. And I don't want to critique those people by any means, but I just want it, you know, that to me, you know, I would never do that, right? I'm sure I probably have in the past, but having the self-awareness that I do now, I would never do that because it cheapens the experience. You know, what they're opening is an experience. It's, you know, I'm really excited about this, whether it's a little tchotchke that cost a couple bucks from, you know, CVS, or, you know, it was a $50, you know, gift card from Barnes and Noble. It doesn't matter. You know, they put thought, you know, they saw something that they identified as something that I would enjoy. And so it was given to me. And if somebody, you know, has a pre or says something ahead of time saying, oh, this is stupid, that gives my perception that, okay, I'm not going to like this. You know, this was a last minute gift. And so you flipped it on its head and you may have waited until like the last second to purchase a gift, but you turned it into an experience that, you know, your wife loved.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so. And whether or not she loved it and how that affects me is a whole nother conversation of expectations and relating, but I definitely did my best. And I do believe that she did have a great experience with it.
Good.
It's funny as you talk about gift giving, it used to be, standard to, not open a gift in front of the person that gave it to you. It used to be like,
I like that.
The word uncouth, maybe. I don't know, like to be there when
taboo.
The person opens the gift, because it just muddies the experience of the gift. And so that's interesting the way people do, and probably myself included, state something about the gift before the experience is even had.
Yeah. And you know, along those lines, If I were to have somebody listen to our podcast, I think it's a great podcast. I don't want to be there while they're listening to it. I just, that one, I'm way too self-conscious about that. But two, I don't want my being there to affect how they receive the information.
Exactly.
Or the
exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But getting reeling back in, I guess, to the idea of bad days, where we kind of tailed off is this, what people might not, some people, I wouldn't have heard this, what I'm about to say, as clearly, as it is to me now. And some people might not hear it, and they might hear this and say, well, that's ridiculous, but there's an element of choice. If not, the element is choice, when we are in these states. Now, there are moments, I would imagine, from my own experience and from my experience of other people, that we get soaked in some type of response that we have to somebody or to an experience. Something happens and it like provokes this, you know, traumatic response or something within us, and where we really clamp down and there isn't a lot of conscious thought. You know, like if a kid is flipping off the handle with anger because something happened, there's no level of cognition there. And I believe that happens sometimes to us as adults as well. And then there's another place where a lot of the stewing, you know, like after this response or after something happens, there's this level of stewing that we have. And there's the conversation to be had around, you know, what do you do when you're stewing and how do you come out of that? Right. Because, you know, it's in my opinion, the stewing sometimes feels good. Like there's this texture of it, like being angry and pissed off at the world. Like there's this like nature about it. It's just like, it actually has a quality that's invigorating sometimes. I don't know. What's coming up for you?
I agree with you completely. I know I can feel what you're describing, and you're absolutely right. If I were to, you know, shut everything off right now, phone included, and just sit my ass on the couch and just stew in my own misery, there is an element to that that feels good. It feels as if I can shirk, you know, all of the responsibilities in my life and all of the positive and negative relationships and just say fuck you to everything and just sit there knowing that, you know, me right now, this is all that really matters. That there is a very good or cathartic feeling to that. However, something I said about that is very important. To be able to have that feeling, you need to cut yourself off from the world. You know, stew all you want, get it out of yourself, but do not let that feeling out into the wild, because you can't let it affect your relationships. Because as bad as you feel, other people, one, probably don't know about it, and two, they are not feeling it, and they still have a high, they are still holding you to a higher level. And so when you get back up to the level, you can resume that relationship. But if you're, you know, if you're bitching about it, or if you're, you know, you're complaining about it to another person, you're going to bring the perception of you down. And so I completely understand what you're saying. There is a very, you know, visceral feeling of, you know, just being miserable and being pissed off at the world on your own time. Does what I'm saying make sense? You don't want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, totally, man. Okay. It's like, and so I'll just say this now. We didn't come to this conversation with like the 12-step list of how to get out of a bad day.
Right.
What we wanted in this conversation was a really organic, you know, process of what happens and then where the conversation goes. So, you know, we do hope to get by the end of this conversation some actionable, or we have our own, like, and we'll talk about those. But that's just a little caveat there. You know, I know sometimes people record podcasts in this nature of personal development, and it's like, you 10 ways to get your New Year's in line, or, you know, like 12 ways to recover from a bad day.
Yeah.
But I really like sinking into the experience of what it is to have a bad day, because a lot of people don't have the conversations at this level with their friends or family or their coworkers or their colleagues. And it's enough to realize that your bad days are not ridiculous. Like the way that you experience pain and suffering in your life is not this solo act that is only you and there's something wrong with you. But like these elements that we're talking about now are what I imagine to be things that other people are experiencing that they haven't really even spoken about or had a finger on for themselves, because it's not something that's often talked about. But what I got from what you were saying is that, yes, if you're having a bad day and you want to sit in it, that's great, but it's also our responsibility. Well, maybe it's not great, but like that's your prerogative. It's also our responsibility not to give that to the world, not to, like if I'm having a bad day, I either need to put it aside to be with my family or to be at work. I need to address it with my family, you know, either put it aside and deal with it another time, like set aside a time to deal with it rather than just like put it aside forever. If it's not something I can deal with my family, to put it aside and then be with my family and then later take care of it, or address it with my family if it needs to be addressed with my family. or completely separate myself in that moment from my family, because if I'm in it, my responsibility as a person, as a man, to not just start giving it to people, start vomiting it out and saying, here's my pain, you should feel it, because I'm in pain, you should be in pain, and
right.
You know, or whatever it might be. But that's essentially what we're doing when we have our own response to the world, and we're saying things from that place. Like, we got to catch ourselves, and that's, I think that's the first step, is being able to just not do damage, right? Like, when I'm sad, the first step for me, don't do damage, okay? Most of the shit that's going to come out of my mouth right now, Ernie, most of the stuff you're going to want to say right now is not accurate and is going to hurt, right. Or it's going to have a little off color to it. So just don't talk unless you're very clear on what's happening. And that's literally what I'll do, is sometimes it's just like, I'm not talking right now until I can get away from this moment and manage whatever's happening within me and come back to it.
That's very good and very, very important. And so, yes, you said we will, well, let's talk about action. Let's talk about, you know, what it is, you know, that we are recognizing right now, okay, not in a great place mentally. What can we do about it? The first thing, as I think through this, the first thing that I will tell myself is that, okay, this is temporary. This is going to get better. You know, I'm still alive. That is a win. And so there is a situation that is, or a combination of situations, circumstances, or variables that is bringing my happiness down, but it's going to get back up at some point in time. What can I do to fix that situation? And this is going to be different for everybody. We don't live in a vacuum. For me, you were absolutely right. I'm being raised back up gradually right now. And so, as I continue to lift myself back up, you know, one thing I'm going to do today is to treat myself a little bit. I'm going to go for a run because it's been a few days since I have done so. I didn't get a chance to yesterday, so I'm going to do it today. You know, Ernie, what do you do when there's a situation that is internally bugging you? There are very few external variables that you can approach and say, okay, let's fix this. What do you do to raise your mentality back up?
Yeah. I'm like, as you're talking and we're moving into this segment of the conversation, I'm writing a little list here of ideas that, not ideas, of things that I have taken on in my life to help me move through those moments. And what I'm like feeling like is that I've been a doomsday prepper in some form, where it's like, this is now, I'm prepared for any doomsdays, because I have my bug out bag put together. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, Trey and I will unpack the bug out bags of bad days.
Yes.
That should be the show title. I'm just saying, bad day, bug out bag.
Bad day. All right. I love it.
Don't do that. okay. Laughing. Yeah. We'll put that in there.
Yeah.
Although when I'm super angry and someone makes a really good joke, I'm just like, sometimes I just go straight smug and like, your stupid joke, and not listen to that. So that might not be a bug out bag.
Yeah.
Item. So one thing, man, that actually came later, but has been the most effective. So this only came into my life as a resource, as a firm resource that I, almost immediately will turn to now, is a support system. So having a support system of trust, somebody I trust in my life, or multiple people that I trust in my life that I can reach out to in a moment where my mind feels like it's in crisis. you know, most of the time when things are happening and we're having a bad day, there maybe isn't a crisis, but it certainly feels like it. And having what I want to call in this moment, a portfolio of human beings that I trust is the first and easiest way to get out of that. So what I mean by that is people that can listen, people that can empathize, and people that can help me work through things. So, or if you don't have that yet, a method by which you can express these things. For me, for a while it was journaling. So just a way to get it out in order to, you know, give that, or not give that, but to air it out first right. of all, and then a method of by which to move through it. So whether that's reading your journaling or hearing a person talk through it with you. I realize that's been so powerful for me. Two, I would say having particular practices that work to remove the energy from your body, running, punching a bag, going out in the woods and sitting, going out in the woods and screaming, stomping your feet, as stupid as that might sound, like just throwing a little hissy fit, it can work. So practices and people, those are the two things that come up. Because what we're doing in those moments is like running a game film of all the things that are bad in our lives, and we got to stop the game film. We can always do the game film later when we've like moved out of that crisis mode in our bodies and in our minds, but we can't do that until we've taken care of the initial step. Now, the other thing that comes up as I say this for myself is that there has to be a decision that, like a container or a commitment for myself to not sit in it for too long.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how many actionable items or people you have on your list if you're not picking up your phone and calling, if you're not sitting down and being still. And the problem is we don't know when enough is enough when it comes to the way we treat ourselves or the way we mistreat ourselves. And so if anybody listening to this, like myself has been in a place or is in a place where you can go days or weeks or months sitting in a bad day from, you know, you have a bad day in December and you're sitting in it in at the end of January, that bad day that you had, it's just been compounding. If you have a history of doing that, setting a container of like, when you notice you're in a bad day, okay, I have four more hours to be in a bad day. And then I've got to do something to get out of it. And then using one of your actionable items to work through it.
Yes. Those items are phenomenal. And this is going to sound wholly self-promotional, but it's important. You know, the interviews that we're doing are for the benefit of us and for everybody out there. And a lot of what you just said was contained within, you know, our conversation with Lisa, and, you know, giving yourself a distraction while you're in the heat of the negativity to get yourself out of the danger zone and then moving forward again.
Yeah.
And
another thing comes up, or did you have something else?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Another thing that comes up before we, because I want to transition into some of the elements that you have taken on to move through these similar situations. And I've said this before, especially in instances where I feel like I'm losing my mind with my children, but it works in every scenario, whether it's you're losing your mind because of something that you've done or failed at. If you're, you know, overthinking about somebody at work that did something, a client that did or didn't do something, or your family, whatever it might be. But I still kind of like wish I had the right way to say this, but I'll just keep saying it until it kind of sinks in for people. Because I wouldn't have heard this, like I said, 5 years ago. But forgiveness, if you can practice or even pretend that you're willing to entertain the idea of forgiving people without a resolution having happened, or forgiving yourself without having to prove yourself worthy of forgiveness, if you can learn that art, and then over time develop it as a habit that just happens for you, that's where the juice is, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to one of your points, having what did you call your network? I like the way you say it.
Portfolio.
Your portfolio of people to talk with. That is extremely important. Having somebody, anybody to talk to. When you find your place and when you find yourself in a place of vulnerability, especially extreme vulnerability, there are always people you can call. And, I want to put myself out there. You know, if you're listening to this and you feel like you just don't know where to go, I'm giving you permission to reach out to me. And if I can't help you, I will certainly point you in the direction of somebody who can, just to have a conversation. You can email me. onemosaiclife@gmail.com.
DM the Instagram. We both follow that. Dude. Absolutely. We would show up.
And Instagram is @onemosaiclife. And again, it's not to be promotional. We are people who are going through everyday things just like you. And, we're here to grow ourselves and to become better people. So we want to help however we can.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Do you want to share some of the ideas that you have come across in your life that seem most effective when you're going through something?
Yeah, I'm a little bit less organized than you right now, so I didn't write them all down. But things, when it comes to dealing with negativity and stressful situations, to me, I'll give kind of an anecdote. Using running for an example, I will oftentimes go out for a run, with the best intentions, and then I will find myself thinking of negative scenarios in my head, whether or not they're true, and I will also find myself quickening my pace and pushing myself harder and harder and harder. I don't want to say I'm punishing myself. I just want to say that I'm using that fuel I'm using it as fuel for the fire, so I can push myself to an extreme. And I have no scientific reasoning for why that helps me. And Ernie, I know you work out a lot. You do CrossFit as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so do you find yourself, do you have, this self-talk in your head and you say, no, I'm not going to deal with this right now. I'm just going to push myself harder and harder and harder.
Well, it's both. I utilize the self-talk that stimulates the negative energy in me. When I'm in a place that I can exert that negative energy, safely. Mm-hmm. And so, absolutely. I used to run quite a bit, and I would, when I was having a terrible day, just like you're saying, I would run. I would tell myself I'm running until I'm done thinking about it. And so eventually, I'd be like, okay, all right, I'm done thinking about it. But the entire time that I was thinking about it, it was bringing up that energy over and over again, and I just kept moving and moving.
Yeah.
I'll do it at CrossFit too. Channel a specific instance that triggers an emotion in me, whether it's anger at somebody else or anger at myself or a sadness that just hasn't dealt. It's my belief that anger is the topical outburst of sadness. It seems true for me, and I've heard it spoken by other people as well. So if it's at the anger stages, boom, then I'm exerting it in a manner of anger, but I'm doing it in a safe place. Whereas when I was 19, 20, I was putting holes in my wall. Now I'm like, oh, I'm angry, and I can still, I'll put a hole in these plates, like these weightlifting plates. That's what I'm going to put a hole in today. I'm going to throw the wall ball as high as I can. I'm going to put a hole in this wall that way. Noticing it, exerting it in a positive way. And then I'll say the last thing is, and then eventually it's a sadness, and I realize that, or maybe since I've done this work through the anger, it just starts to show up as a sadness. And then I find a safe place to exert that, which is I put on a playlist of sad songs that I've created. And then I'll sit on my Zafu and I'll circulate my mind for those thoughts that were coming up whenever that sadness came up, that specific instance. For instance, I wasn't invited to something, and I found out after the fact that I wasn't invited to it. And that made me sad because it was like, oh, what about me? Like, nobody cares about me. But I noticed it was like a really deep inherent like feeling within me.
Right.
And so I put it aside because I realized it was happening. I went home and I spent the day with my family and I enjoyed that. And then when I had time, I sat down and I searched my mind for that thing that happened earlier in the day. And when it nailed it, I had my headphones on. I'm listening to this sad music and I just cried until I couldn't feel it anymore, until the energy stopped having like control over me. So I feel like what you're saying, when you talk about running and using running as a means to like pass that for yourself, that makes complete sense for me at least.
And I want to go back to one thing you said, because it was extremely important, was you said, oh, I'm angry. Label what you're feeling. If you feel as if you're in a bad place, think about it. Label it. Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you mad? Label it. So you can acknowledge it. Don't just feel bad for the sake of feeling bad. If you don't know the problem, you cannot treat it. So if you're angry, then go to your angry routine. If you're sad, go to your sad routine, both of which Ernie just described. And so me being the data nerd that I've found myself to be, I try to track everything. And so after I escape from that place, I can take a look back at the days leading up to and the days leading away from and see, you know, what common thread there was that was being pulled. And then I can stop that thread being fed into my life ahead of time next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The subtleties that initially set us off, when we become aware of them, it's like we day by day break that chain to it for sure. And honestly, you know, I didn't realize this until last year, rather, that our emotional responses are very limited. In fact, there are five main emotional responses that we have, that the rest of the words we use to describe our emotions stem from, and it's mad, glad, sad, fear, or shame. And so anything that you're dealing with in your life can be attributed to one of those emotions. And I challenge anybody to give it a shot right now, choose something that's troubling you and then to pick out one of those five emotions. And if you can't, email me and we'll find a Mosaic Life coffee cup to send your way. but in doing that, oh my God, when you realize that there's only five things I could be experiencing right now, then you only have to find five ways, maybe not even five, because some of the ways you pass these emotions can be used in multiple occasions. But at most, you know, five ways for you to move out of an emotional response. And the first step, like you're saying, like Trey's saying here, you got to label it.
Label it and record it. So you know what it is. You know what it is you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ernie, do you have, I mean, it's, again, it's, you know, killing multiple birds here because I feel better. I do. You know, today was a better day than yesterday. And, you know, this just helped. I mean, it's okay. This helped in the sense of what we just talked about. I'm labeling, you know, yesterday for what it was. It wasn't the best day of my life, but we are allowed to have those. And as productive as I want to be in my life and as ambitious in all the amazing things I want to do, I have to give myself permission to have shitty days. And it happens. Until I can crack that code, that magic sequence, I have to acknowledge that those days are going to happen. And talking about it with you, it's been extremely helpful.
Yeah, that's great to hear, man. I mean, you know my number, man.
And
yesterday at 2:30, if you were watching Netflix and you realized you were done with the feeling, I'm there, man. You can always hit me up that way. And then, or we can record a podcast on it.
That's perfect.
And release it. But it's just, it is nice to hear that. What I imagine will happen is you'll leave this podcast. We'll hang up and, you'll take a deep breath and you'll be like, all right, what's next? And then just move into it.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you said you need to bounce at 3:00 or 3:30.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm, I mean, it's a good time to wrap up. This has been an incredible episode.
It has.
And I really can't wait to share this with people. And
it's something that we deal with every single day, every day. And, you know, these conversations are about having, you know, sometimes difficult conversations with each other so other people can benefit from it. But these, I don't know anybody who's never been depressed before. I just don't. I don't. And, you know, we aren't presenting, you know, a handbook for not feeling depressed. It's how you can move yourself forward and past that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Start getting around people that you're not, that care about you, that have the same ideas.
Find that network. Find that tribe. Yeah.
Build some trust with them. Put down your walls with them. And let them support you when you can't support yourself. Have a couple ways coming up to do that. We're building a tribe ourselves with the Mosaic Life podcast. And so if you don't have an idea when I say find a tribe or find a group of people with similar ideas that can support you, if you have no ideas, then reach out to us, onemosaiclife@gmail.com. We will put you on Trey's mailing list. And when those moments come up that we can invite you to be a part of groups that are doing the work that we've been doing, or groups that we want to share that work that we've been doing with, you'll be one of the first people to know.
100%. Yeah. You said it perfectly. And in regard to what we're working on, I can only imagine that shortly into February, you're going to be hearing a lot more about that. So please keep listening and, you know, let us know what we can do to help you, whether it's to find your tribe or just to talk, man. We really enjoy talking, so.
Yeah. And last but not least, man, thank you for just bringing it. You know, it's not easy to, sometimes it's not easy. I know it can be hard to just simply say, this is what I was experiencing. And this is some of the, you know, huge emotions I was feeling. And this is these are some of the petty things that I was experiencing, and just openly share those. But you just brought that to the table, on a platform that will, you know, be shared with many people. So I appreciate you bringing the topic to the table that we could glean so many insights from.
Certainly. And I hope you'll return the favor in the future.
Yeah, it definitely has me, it's definitely deepened the edge of vulnerability here. And I think that's where where we can really add a lot of value when we're being real with people like you were being today.
Good.
Good. Yeah.
Well, again, if you want to reach out to us, please feel free to do so. You can email us at onemosaiclife@gmail.com. We are on Instagram @onemosaiclife. And if you are interested in supporting us because you find value in what we do, you can head over to onemosaic.life, where you'll not only find all of our episodes, all of our meditations, conversations, and interviews, but you can, I believe the verbiage is, sponsor this podcaster, where you can donate as little as $1. And each and every dollar helps us better what we do, what we're doing. And we enjoy doing it, and hopefully you do as well. So thank you all for listening.
Yeah, we love you guys.
We do. Stay tuned for more great episodes to come, and be well. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of the Mosaic Life podcast. Hopefully the conversation Ernie and I had about bad days and coping with downswings in mood is beneficial to you. Again, if you want to reach out, please don't hesitate to do so. You can email us at onemosaiclife@gmail.com. And of course, we are also on Instagram @onemosaiclife. Again, this episode of the podcast was brought to you by 2237 Designs. Simplify your online world. 2237 Designs is the anti-agency and your concierge web guy. You can get a free year of hosting if you email me, Trey, @2237designs. Mention you heard about 2237 Designs on the podcast, and we can work that free year of hosting into your future projects. Again, thank you so much, and we will be back next week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.